Well, the message today, God is on your side. Say that, God is on your side. Really, it's you, when you think about it, you have to think God is on my side, but it's kind of hard for me to preach it that way. So you take it personally, but I'm going to keep saying God is on your side. Okay, you get it? It's kind of hard for me to say God's on my side. Oh, it's all right. Romans 8:31 through 38. Great passage of scripture, and it starts like this. What then shall we say to these things? Some translations say these wonderful things. And those things are what's back in verses 26 through 30, where it talks about the Holy Spirit praying through us and God choosing us and causing all things to work together for our good. That's the those things that it's talking about. So what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, and these things now are the things in verse 35, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. Yet in all these things, the Word of God says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And then I love this verse, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the reason for a message, God is on your side? Well, I did a little statistical survey, and I won't bore you with a lot of the statistics, but 65% of believers don't have a sense of inner peace. 72% don't believe that the Word of God can give hope to their lives. Now, I trust there is nobody in here like that. I want you to know this morning that even if you feel defeated, even if you are unhappy, unfulfilled, worried, rejected, lonely, sick, distressed. Does any of this sound familiar? Bitter, guilt-ridden, feeling unloved, persecuted, troubled, addicted, betrayed. There are Christians that carry those things around with them daily. I pray that if any of you have come this morning and you are feeling any of those ways, I trust that by the time you're gone, you will know what? That God is on your side. Some of us feel like Satan has beat us up, and we're bruised, and we're weary, and we're not sure what our next step is. The list could go on and on. Some of us feel like life just has not been good to us, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. I would dare to say, if we took a survey, even here, there would be some that would say, I'm not sure God loves or cares about me because I'm in debt, my marriage is in a mess, my kids are going crazy, I don't get along with my family, my coworkers, I cry a lot, I feel stressed most of the time, I wish things were better for me and my family. I'm not sure God loves me or even cares about me. If he did, why would life be so hard? Some of us are thinking, you know, I just can't keep doing this. I can't keep living this. God, why don't you help me? There are these things in life that make us feel like we're walking through this life without God. If so, this message just might be for you. And if it's not for you, it might be meant for somebody you're going to encounter that needs to know God is on their side. We're not alone even when we feel alone. He's with us, and more than that, He is for us. He is on our side. Do you know there is a war going on for your soul? It is a daily war that the enemy is coming after you to press you down, stress you out, worry you sick. It is a constant war. But I want you to listen to this. The enemy does not, if you're a believer, the enemy does not direct or control your life. So stop giving him control. You give him control when you surrender to what he's doing. Pastor Angela said, stand up and take authority. As believers, we must do that on a daily basis, sometimes on a moment-by-moment basis. God is on your side. G-I-O-Y-S. I don't know how you pronounce it. G-I-O-Y-S. Now, how many of you remember WWJD? What does that mean? Okay, now I know my little phrase is not going to go worldwide. They are not going to make bracelets that say G-I-O-Y-S. They just aren't going to do it. But when I say it today, what are you going to think? God is on your side. So tell somebody close to you and give them a high five. G-I-O-Y-S. Come on. God is on your side. Did anybody not get a high five? I want to know. I'm going to run down there and I'm going to give it to you myself. Everybody got a high five. Okay. So, God wants you to know that He, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God that's bigger than anything you know, He is for you. He's on your side. Now, I don't know how many of you in school ever were in this situation where someone was choosing people for a team. But let's pretend like you're the captain and you're choosing a team like for football. Huh, how about that? And you look at all the students. So you're thinking, who's going to be the best to run into people and knock them over and all that bad stuff they do in football? You look and you see somebody that's way bigger than you are. You have to look up to him. And you see he's got legs like tree trunks and arms like short tree trunks. And his body looks like a barrel. What are you going to do? You're on my side, right? Listen, we get to say to God, you're on my side. We get to choose him. You have to choose him. You have to. Otherwise, this message is not going to mean a whole lot to you. So initially, you have to choose him. This is the God who is bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my shame. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. God's bigger than it. He's bigger than it. I don't care how big it is. Am I talking too loud? I've got a microphone right here. Am I okay? Am I all right? Pastor will tell me. Y'all will just tell me. A little ring. Pastor says I have a little ring. So does that mean I can't yell? Okay, I won't yell. I'll be real careful. Okay. 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 I got through the song. So listen, I just started reading this great book, Lisa Bevere's new book, called Without Rival. And in one of the beginning chapters, she talks about our unrivaled God. Whew. God is not rivaled. If you ever think there's a battle going on between Satan and God, listen. God's always the victor. He is unrivaled. We sing, there is none like you. We sang this one this morning, no one but you, Jesus, or no one like you, Jesus. There really is no one like him. Lisa Bevere says, God is not sitting passively watching and waiting. He has already seen to everything concerning you. He's already seen to it. So when you say, when I say, he's on your side, he's already seen to it. He sees exactly where you are. He knows exactly how he's going to get you out of it. And you can trust him for that. So he's not sitting passively watching and waiting. He's already seen to everything and is now resting in his finished work. What did Jesus say? It is finished. It is finished. All things concerning you, come on. God has already taken care of it. And you can trust him. He has already seen to everything and is now resting in his finished work, rejoicing when his children ask him to reveal their story. Do you know you can ask the King of the universe, God, would you show me today, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to talk to? What am I not supposed to do? You ask him because G-I-O-Y-S. He is on your side. Lisa Bevere goes on to say, he has the vantage point of beholding past, present, and future. He knows you are going to succeed in him. He knew it before the foundation of the earth. We have to make the decision to come into agreement with his plan for us. And as we come into agreement with his plan for us, then we know for a certainty that he is on our side. Lisa Bevere says, our God declares the end in the beginning. In Christ, God loved us before we loved him. He caught us before we fell. He forgave us before we asked. He clothed us in righteousness before we even realized we were naked. He cleansed us before we were aware of our filth. Hallelujah. This is the God who is on your side. Let me tell you something else about him. By the time we're done, you're going to know why you need him on your side and why you can't lose if he is on your side. I found this description of God is in a 2006, yes, that is 10 years ago, prayer guide published by Pastor Jim for one of our prayer events. Couldn't find the author. It was in the book, so I used it. To the author, if you're listening, I give you all the credit in the world because it's an awesome piece. But I just want to say to the people that scoff at savers, Ten years old, and it found its way into this message. I think that's a good applause for savers. You never know when you might need it. Has anybody ever heard that? Yes, my mother thought that too. And I'm telling you, when we got rid of her stuff, we thought she could not have used all this in 200 years. Anyway, I'm trying not to do that to my kids. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I want you to hear exactly who is on your side. Now, this sounds a little familiar because the phrasing and some of the words sound like "That's My King." How many remember that wonderful video, "That's My King," by Reverend Lockridge that we've seen here? But it is different, and I believe it will inspire us to know the God who is on our side. God is Lord Almighty, Omnipotent King, Lion of Judah, Rock of Ages, Prince of Peace. King of kings, Lord of lords, provider, protector, paternal leader, ruling Lord, and reigning King of all the universe. He is Father, He is Helper, He is Guardian, and He is God, and He's on your side. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all He keeps. The architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, He always is, and He always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand Him. The armies can't defeat Him. The schools can't explain Him. And the leaders can't ignore Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse Him. The people couldn't hold Him. Nero could not crush Him. Hitler could not silence Him. The New Age cannot replace Him. And non-believers can't explain Him away. He is light, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and His mind is on me. He is my Redeemer and my Savior. He is my guide and my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and He rules my life. I serve Him because His bond is love. His burden is light, and His goal for me is abundant life. I follow Him because He is the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the Ancient of Days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of leaders, the overseer of the overcomers, and the sovereign Lord of all that was and is to come. And if that seems impressive to you, try this for size. His goal is a relationship with you and me. He will never leave me, never forsake me, never mislead me, never forget me, never overlook me, and never cancel my appointment in His appointment book. When I fail, He forgives. When I am weak, He is strong. When I am lost, He is the way. When I am afraid, He is my courage. When I stumble, He steadies me. When I'm hurt, He heals me. When I'm broken, He mends me. When I'm blind, He leads me. When I face trials, He is with me. When I face persecution, He shields me. When I face loss, He cares for me. And when I face death, He carries me home. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, and every way. He is God. He is faithful. I am His, and He is mine. My Father in heaven can whip the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand this. He said it. That settles it. He's in control. I'm on His side. And that means all is well with my soul. Give the Lord some praise. Yes, 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 yes. This is our God. If you're a believer and you're living a frustrated life, I want you to know you've got to get the message of grace into you. Because it's not about what we do. It's about what He does in us. It's about Him living His life in us. He's not sitting up there cracking the whip because you did something wrong. You wore lipstick before you were 16 and you wore pants to a church picnic. He's not caring about all that stuff. He wants your love. He wants your heart. It's His amazing grace that makes it possible for us to live for Him. You know, many years ago, I should say many, many years ago, maybe I was like this big, I don't know. I used to mistakenly believe that people that, Christians and preachers and things that you, people that you see on TV, you know, mega church people and big name people, I could name a few of them. I used to mistakenly believe that they just had wonderful, beautiful lives all the time. You know, that they were never sick and they always had enough money and nothing bad ever happened to their family and nobody ever talked bad to them and life was just always wonderful and beautiful. I don't know if somebody told me that or, you know, I was a dreamer when I was a kid, so I just, you know, everything is perfect and beautiful and lovely. But I have since learned that that is not true. And I remember one day hearing Joyce Meyer tell a story on herself, and I thought, I don't know how many of you know Anne Graham Lotz, but she's the daughter of Billy Graham. Marvelous, wonderful woman of God. Some years ago, back in 2000, she wrote a book called Just Give Me Jesus. Love that book. Still look at that book even today. And she probably would have been, she was the daughter of Billy Graham, so I figured, oh, she must, oh, nothing ever happens bad to her. Listen to the preface of her book when she was writing Just Give Me Jesus. My life during the past 2 years has been pressure-packed. This was in 2000. I'm going to give you a little bit of an update after I read this. My life during the past 2 years has been pressure-packed and trouble-filled. My husband's dental office, where he had practiced for 30 years, burned to the ground. All three of my children got married within 8 months of each other. My son was diagnosed with cancer and went through successful surgery and follow-up radiation. I published 2 books, God's Story and Daily Light, as well as the Daily Light Journal, Morning Readings. I produced a 7-volume video series with workbooks and study guides for the vision of His glory. I kept up an intense speaking schedule that included international travel. She sounds like Superwoman for real. International travel, fulfilled ministry obligations, and gave physical care to my parents, including going through my mother's 5 emergency hospitalizations within a span of 10 months. My ministry, Angel Ministries, is currently going through a transition that has increased our yearly budget 6-fold, and in the year 2000 will offer arena events for the purpose of revival at no charge. My duties and responsibilities at times seem overwhelming. My schedule is overfilled. But listen to this. I don't want a vacation. I don't want to quit. I don't want sympathy. I don't want money. I don't want recognition. I don't want to escape. I don't even want a miracle. This book is the cry of my heart. Just give me Jesus, please. Since this book was written, her mom has gone on to be with the Lord. She continues to help care for her dad, Billy Graham, the saint of a man who is in his 90s. Her husband of 49 years died unexpectedly in a pool accident. In all these things, she's still speaking around the nation, has just written a new book called The Daniel Prayer about how to pray for revival and pray for our nation. God is on her side. Would you agree? Even though she came through all of that, and He is on your side as well. Many of us falsely believe that if God is for us, then everything in our lives is going to be perfect. Now, I grant that there is the favor of God and there is grace, and we can walk in that favor. How many love the favor of God? Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I pray for it every day. How many love the grace of God? Totally don't deserve His grace, but He gives it to us over and over. We used to sing an old song, He giveth more grace as the burdens get greater. And that's so true. Well, sometimes we have wonderful days where we wake up and we can say, good morning, Lord. And we can't think of one thing that's wrong that day. Everything is well with the world. But some days we get up and we're hit with all kinds of difficulties in this world. John 16:33, you know this verse very, very well. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus said we would have tribulation. It's a part of living in this world. The word tribulation, Pastor says it all the time, means pressure. It means oppression, anguish, squeezing, distress. A visual would be something like spiritual bench pressing, or like crushing grapes or olives. Jesus said it was going to be like that for us in this world. So when you have tribulation, don't mire down under it. Remember what Jesus said. He overcame the world. And because He overcame, we also can overcome. God's not worried, folks. He's just not worried. You know, we are thinking about... an election and an economy and what is this fall going to bring? God's not worried. And G-I-O-Y-S. For real. For real. In this verse, Jesus says, if you are in me in this world, you will have peace. And be of good cheer. Take heart. Don't worry. He says, I have overcome. And what does that word mean? It means conquered, vanished, defeated, crushed. All the tribulation in the world. That's what Jesus said He would do. So if we stick with Him, even if everything falls down around us, if we stick with Him, we know that we will be safe and all will be well. Romans 8:35-37 in the New Living Translation says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I'm going down to verse 37. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Him who loved us. In the New King James Version, verse 37 says, we have overwhelming victory, or we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. God is on your side. And He says, when you face these things, you are more than a conqueror. We become super conquerors. People love superhero movies. My family loves superhero movies. They love it when the superhero swoops down and rescues the people from the burning train or stops the bank robbers or superheroes do a lot of things. But my family loves those movies. I won't say a whole lot about that. These are feel-good movies. And I just want you to know that Hollywood has already planned out superhero movies for the next 10 years. They've already got them planned out. Isn't that something? People spend more money, maybe because people want to be Superman or Iron Man. I don't know why. All of that's neat. I'd much rather watch a Hallmark movie, but... So what is being more than a conqueror? You will love this, because this is what God says you are. Being more than a conqueror is winning the battle before it even begins. Yeah! It means an absolute victory before you even fight. It means to prevail completely with nothing else to conquer. No more enemies. Church, that means we can do our happy dance before we fight. Come on, do your happy dance before you fight, because the word says you are more than a conqueror. Can you tell I'm trying not to yell? You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Jesus already won the battle. He already won it. So do your happy dance first. And then go into battle. Then go into battle. It means that God is for you, He's with you, and He's fighting for you. It means we can face life and its troubles with the certainty that we are not alone. We have a mighty Father who fights for us. Remember when Pharaoh and his army were chasing the Israelites, and the Red Sea was in front of them and the army was behind them? This is in Exodus 14, 13 through 14. But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." You know, when God says stand still, that's what he means. I find it so interesting that many times God puts a married couple together, even pastors, where one is a let's do something and the other is let's stand still and see the salvation of God. In our household, I would be the queen of let's do something. I can figure out even the littlest thing to do that's going to fix it. We're just going to fix this. Pastor, on the other hand, let's see what God's going to do. Well, okay, we can see what he's going to do, but let's just... if we do this, it would really help. I mean, it would... just trust me, it would really help if we just did this. Can I just say that I have seen God work more times than I care to remember when we let him fight the battle than when we did something. We have very interesting conversations in our house when these things happen. And no, you would not want to be a fly on the wall. But God is merciful, and we've been married 52 years, so we're learning. Somebody's learning. I guess I'm learning. Now, life is not always that definitive. And I just want you to know, in my own defense, that if God really says, stand still, I will stand still. But it's in the moments when he doesn't say, stand still, and we're trying to get his mind on what to do. The queen of let's do something will figure it out in a heartbeat and help you know exactly our next step. But the man of God, let's just wait on God. I'm going to tell you about a recent situation, something that I really, really, really wanted to do. And I don't know how you married couples work, but in our household, when we have something really big and we're both getting different responses to it or answers to it, then we normally don't do it at that time. We just kind of wait on God. Well, I really, really, really wanted to do this thing. And I have to confess that I felt like God wanted me to do it too. Because it was something I really, 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 really wanted. But Pastor would pray and he just, you know, I'll pray again, but I just, you know. So I'm still looking at airfares and hotels and maybe, just maybe, just maybe. There is safety in surrendering to the will of God. Amen. Through the man of God. The final time, and I have to say that God began kind of easing that want to in me. He started making me feel like, you know, that thing is not, it's not the all in all for you. You don't have to do that. It's something you want to do, but you don't have to do that. But what I do know is I trust the man of God in my life, that when he said this last time that the negative was bigger than it had ever been, it was so easy to submit. I stopped. Well, I never was really ugly about it, I don't think. Was I ever really ugly? I wasn't ugly about it. So I was going to say I stopped being ugly about it, but I accepted what God said through my head. There is protection in that. And I am perfectly fine now. I erased all the air fares and beautiful hotel, and I wrote to the people that were expecting me to be there. And I told them, you know, the Lord is the one who guides our lives. And this, at this time, is just not for us. But you know what? God is still on my side. And wives, I want to tell you this. There is security and protection. I don't know what's going to happen in the month when I would have been gone. I don't know, but God knows. And I believe God through this man to do the right thing for me. Wasn't really going to talk a whole lot about that, but I just want us to know that the church needs a revelation that the creator of the universe, the Almighty, the true and faithful God, is for you. He loves you so much that he gave the Son, that was the most precious thing in the world to him, to redeem us, because he loved us since the beginning of time. And our text says, there is nothing that can separate us from his love. No sin of ours, no attempt of the enemy can steal God's loving care from our lives. We can look at the darkest valley knowing that nothing is going to happen to us that is not permitted by our loving Heavenly Father. And that whatever it is, the Word says, you believe the Word? How many of you believe the Word? Whatever it is, we know that we face loss in our lives, but God says he's going to cause it all to work together for good if we love him and are called according to his purpose. You should know that the enemy's plan is not just to be a little hindrance to you. His plan is not just to make you feel bad a few days of the week. His plan is not just to have people upset with you. His plan is not just to make you afraid or worried. His ultimate plan is to steal your eternal destiny. He wants to keep you out of heaven. He wants to keep you out of the kingdom. That is his ultimate purpose. So you must look at all these little things and realize that these things are meant by the enemy to keep us from our eternal destiny. But he cannot steal your eternal destiny. He can mess with you. He can try to steal, kill, and destroy. A long time ago, we used to sing a song that says, "Whether I live or die, whether I wake or sleep, whether upon the land or in the stormy deep, when 'tis serene or calm, or when the wild winds blow, I shall not be afraid. I am the Lord's, I know. Nothing shall separate us from his unbounded love, neither in depths below nor in the heights above. And in the years to come, he will abide with me. I am the Lord's, I know, for all eternity." Hallelujah. Satan is trying to keep us from heaven and an eternity with God. Know that you must continue to stand against him, but you aren't standing alone, because G-I-O-Y-S, God is on your side. This scripture in John 10, 27 through 29 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." That is the word of God. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Satan cannot snatch you out of the hand of God. God is on your side. He is your protector. He is the mighty and awesome God. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Let me say this as we close. The only way that this message will work for you. Now, I don't fully understand God's sovereignty. I know people that aren't born again, it even talks about it in Psalms, people that don't trust God, that they have good things come to their life. But I want you to know that God is on your side once you have chosen to be on his side. You make the first choice. You're the one picking God in that football team that we talked about at the beginning. Some of us knew the Lord years ago, and we've just kind of dried up and somehow gotten away from him. But if you want God to truly show himself strong, you've got to be willing to be on his side. You've got to initially say, "Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you be my Savior?" You choose him, and then he is on your side. I know there's probably a lot of theology that I'm passing over in all of this. I know before you were born again, God probably did lots of wonderful things for you. And I understand that. He was drawing you. He was wooing you into coming back to a right relationship with him. No one can guarantee the safekeeping of God fighting your battles if you haven't surrendered your life to him. You know deep in your heart, if you've walked away from him or don't trust him with your life anymore. Listen, God loves you. Don't try to figure out why he loves you or why he shouldn't love you. You haven't messed up so much that he doesn't love you anymore. The verse said, "Nothing can separate us from his love. I'm going to ask us to stand. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you. None of us can make ourselves good enough for his love. Not wearing pants or earrings or all of those things I grew up with. Not one of those things, not one of them made me good enough for God to love. He loved me because I was his. And so right now, as we prepare to sing, first of all, if you need to choose Jesus again today, if you've been skirting all around Jesus, trying to straddle the fence, trying to not be his fully because you are ashamed to be a believer on your job, or maybe your family, they aren't believers, so you didn't want to step outside. But I also want to speak to those of us who have trusted God and who feel like in our lives there's so much wrong, and we need to know he is on our side. I'm here as an instrument of God today to tell you, God is for you. He's not against you. He loves you with a great, mighty, awesome love. I'm going to ask our pastors and elders to come forward. And you know, right this minute, you know already if there's something you need to trust God for. And I'm giving you an opportunity to come and pray with someone that can help you. Someone that's willing to help you know that God is on your side, that he's fighting for you, that he has a place in the kingdom for you. I know God has touched some hearts out there. I saw it all over you while I was preaching. The Lord pointed some of you out to me, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I want you to know you can do this. Nobody's judging you because you're coming to the altar. You're coming to the altar so you can say, God is on my side. And I don't want to face this world without knowing that God is fighting for me. I don't want to fight a battle without the Lord. I don't know about you, but I would lose every time. He wants you to be a winner. And he says to you, I am for you, not against you.